You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. Whoa! The Punt Podcast, Midweek Edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Missy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One. It's 17-10 anytime. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Bosses up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Yes, hello everybody. Welcome along to the midweek edition of The Punt. Another big midweek of football as well. We've got action in the UEFA Champions League. We've got Europa League football on Thursday as well. And if the Football League is your thing, there's plenty of action in there as well throughout the midweek. My name is Mark Walton, in the presenter's chair on this edition, and I'm joined once again on the line by Tom Kerwin. How are you, Tom?
How are you, Mark? I'm very good. Top of the world.
Yeah, top of the league, top of the world. Being a Leeds United commentator.
Top of the world, everything's great. You know, it's that quote, isn't it? You can't remember if, you know, your life's great because your football team's great, or the other way around. Either way, I'm smiling, and you know, it should be a good week as well. Lots of football this midweek, and you know, in particular, looking at some of our sides in the Champions League, I think you know we could have a pretty good week, certainly if you're fans of one of those clubs. I expect a lot of them to get decent results.
Yeah, more on the actual games in a moment or two. But with regards to match week one in the Champions League, it was quite a good start for a lot of the British contingent. Liverpool will be frustrated after their draw with Sevilla, and Celtic, they'll be very unhappy with their result. But on the whole, it was quite a good start for the British sides.
Yeah, it was. It was a good start. I was particularly impressed with Tottenham. You know, I mean, so much has been made about, you know, their so-called form at Wembley and everything. I mean, it's just nonsense. I'd seen on TV last week, they were doing statistics of Tottenham under Mauricio Pochettino in stadiums with over 50,000 capacities, as if to prove they have some major, major flaw. but I thought they were brilliant against Dortmund. And let's not forget, you know, Dortmund have started the season, you know, brilliantly well. But Bayern, of course, had a stutter at the weekend. So, you know, I thought that was a really impressive display and, you know, positive, I think, for Tottenham going forward in the competition.
Yeah, things going well for Spurs at the moment. We'll come on to their game shortly. We're going to start with the match in Moscow, though, as Spartak Moscow play host to Liverpool. Spartak are 4-1. The draw is 14-5. Liverpool are 4-6 in the betting. Just talking there at the start, how Liverpool will be probably frustrated with the results in match week one in the Champions League. They've been pretty frustrated in other competitions as well. They got beaten by Leicester in the League Cup. They only managed to draw with Burnley a few weeks ago. They did get the better of Leicester at the weekend again, showing those defensive fragilities though. So where do you stand with Liverpool at the moment? They seem a hard side to figure out. They're creating plenty of chances. They're probably not taking as many as they should, and they're leaking goals as well.
Yeah, they're difficult. I mean, I think frustrating is exactly the right word, Mark, to describe Liverpool at the moment, and I imagine the fans are feeling like that, because however much they're entertained and the games are generally kind of nail-biting. You know, if you're a neutral and you're watching Liverpool, or Liverpool are on the box, you want to tune in, don't you? It doesn't matter who they're playing against, because, you know, they're going to give opposition sides a chance, and they just have some wonderful players going forward. I thought quite telling that the victory at Leicester, I know it could have been different in the end, but Coutinho, you know, he's highlighted on Match of the Day, and rightly so, and all the other pundits have had a good look at him, because I thought he was just superb. And, you know, what I get a feeling with Coutinho, although I think he's obviously taken a few weeks, I think, to get over obviously his bad back, but also the disappointment of a move to Barcelona not coming through. But I think he's got a good attitude, Coutinho, generally. You know, I don't think he's a player who's going to sulk this season. I think he's going to want to do his absolute best and, you know, probably just push his way for that move maybe next summer. And I think Liverpool are probably going to get the best out of him. But, you know, they are frustrating. And I don't necessarily, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people looking at Klopp, and I know there's criticism of him, and there has been for quite a while, and there's a lot of comparisons, you know, points totals, you know, versus Brendan Rodgers over a same sort of time span and everything else. But, you know, I don't think Jurgen Klopp is incapable of turning Liverpool into a hard team to beat. I just think he's taken his eye off it. Now, that's poor from him, but, you know, he has done it at Dortmund. You know, Dortmund were a tough side to beat. Now, people might argue and say, well, a lot of their good stuff came from the front. You know, they were on the front foot like he tries to make Liverpool. But, you know, I think he can. I still don't think he's got the right personnel, but I think he can, you know, turn Liverpool into that kind of team that will be tougher to beat. But they're never going to be a team, Mark, under Jurgen Klopp, they're going to go and win 1-0 and 2-0 in places. It'll happen very, very rarely. They will concede, but they've got so much firepower. And in this match, they're up against the Spartak Moscow side, who, you know, back in the Champions League after a long, long time. But you have to look, I mean, Liverpool fans might be frustrated, but Spartak fans have pulled all the hair out already this season. I mean, their title defence is pretty much over. They're 13 points behind Zenit. You know, and there's only been sort of, you know, 12, 13 games or so gone out of the league. It's pretty much over for them, you know. And, you know, I just wonder how they're kind of feeling. They've got a lot of injury problems. Quincy Promes, of course, has been one of the best players in Russian football and have been linked to Liverpool over recent summers, hasn't he? You know, he's a big injury doubt. Funny enough, I just seen a tweet from him a few minutes ago with his sort of hashtag Monday motivation, and there's about 1,000 responses saying, are you fit? Are you fit? Are you fit? Because a lot rests on him in this particular game. You know, Spartak, you know, they're 4-1 at the moment, and that's understandable given their poor start. But I still think Liverpool are a little bit too short in this market. You know, they're still going away to Spartak Moscow, who are going to try and, you know, we talked last week, or the last, you know, first round of Champions League games about Feyenoord, you know, back in the big time, back in the Champions League after a long time. In the end, you know, they went, you know, down to Man City in a bit of a whimper. But, you know, Spartak Moscow will get this game going. And the other thing to remember, I know a few Liverpool fans, and they always remind me this, that Liverpool have really strong support in Moscow. You know, they're one of the best supported teams, you know, outside the Russian sides there. So there'll be a lot of support from the Russians themselves who support Liverpool going along and probably cheering them on in this one. Liverpool have Mane back, you know, and expecting to play. He's fresh, of course, you know, after his sort of, you know, domestic ban. But I just think Liverpool are a little bit too short. There's still those defensive issues. I don't care about Spartak's injury problems and the form that they've had. Like I say, I'd give anybody a chance against Liverpool. And you look at home, they've lost just one of the last five home matches, Spartak. And they do score goals. So I think you've got to be looking at goals in this. And I know I sound like a broken record whenever I talk about Liverpool, Mark, but, you know, just to get the value, I've got to look at Liverpool and overs at 13-10 or Liverpool and both teams to score, because just too short, Liverpool at 4-6 away at Moscow.
Yeah, I agree with you in a lot of that as well. I think Liverpool will win the game. Spartak Moscow have won only 5 of their last 36 Champions League games, and they failed to keep a clean sheet in their last 11 outings in the competition. So you can see Liverpool goals here. You can also see Spartak goals, because we know how bad Liverpool are at defending set pieces. It seems to be their Achilles heel. Spartak Moscow's last 19 Champions League goals have all been scored from inside the box. If they're putting things, you know, corners in, it's going to make it difficult for Liverpool. I can see them getting on the score sheet perhaps that way.
Yeah, well, I think without Promes in particular, and they've got a few other injury concerns in midfield in terms of the ammunition for him, but without him, he missed the weekend with an injury. So, I mean, you know, all the reports from Russia are saying he's not going to play. Whether they are trying to keep him under wraps, I don't know. But without him, and he is pacey, you know, he can shoot from anywhere and score. I mean, he's a top player. They're going to have to rely on set pieces, and look, they're going to look at Liverpool's big weaknesses. They're going to try and be intimidating. They're going to try and put pressure on the Liverpool defence. But I just think Liverpool's attack, while it's not at the top level in European football, I think it's very close when it's on. You know, when it's on song, and you know, I think after that draw at home, potentially a bit of pressure on Liverpool to get a result. So, you know, I think they get it, but, you know, the likelihood is that they probably will concede, or there's going to be a bag load of goals in this one. But, you know, on the outright, I can see some people looking at Liverpool at 4-6 and maybe giving them a little swerve, you know, and looking elsewhere, because I think there's more value in markets that rely on goals in this game.
So Liverpool to win and over 2.5 goals, that's 13-10, as mentioned by Tom there. If you want to side with Liverpool and both teams to score, that is 23-10 in the betting there. Let's move to the Etihad. Next, Man City taking on Shakhtar Donetsk. Man City 1-6 in the betting. The draw 13-2, and Shakhtar 14-1. Manchester City now sit top of the Premier League on goal difference. The scoring goals for absolute fun, Tom. But Shakhtar are no mugs, and we found that out in the Champions League in the past, that they are still a pretty almost underrated side. So should City be 1-6 is the question, I suppose.
I don't think they should be. Again, putting it out there straight away, I think they win this game. But let's not forget, I mean, not only have they been a decent team in recent years, I mean, they've reached the knockout stages, you know, a fair few times. I think it's 3 in the last 6 years they've reached the knockout stages. And I think they've been written off by a lot of people when, you know, Man City, particularly in England, of course, you know, when Man City were drawn in this group. But you only have to ask Napoli, you know, what Shakhtar are all about. You know, beat them 2-1, you know, in Donetsk in that first match, and they were pretty good value for it. I mean, they were 2-0 up around the hour mark. It was only a late goal from Milik from the penalty spot, you know, towards the end of the game that gave Napoli some hope. But generally, you know, Shakhtar were pretty solid there. So, you know, they are a decent side, but their record in England's not great. They've lost all four previous Champions League games in England. And you talk about Man City scoring goals. I mean, it is incredible at the moment. I mean, 16 goals in the last three games. 4-0, of course, against Feyenoord. And I thought that game would be a lot tighter than that. But Man City were irresistible. And actually, you know, the Etihad is becoming somewhat of a little fortress for them in Europe as well. You know, unbeaten in 9 home Champions League games. You know, they've played some good sides, you know, during that run. They've dropped some points maybe, you know, where they shouldn't have. But generally now, you know, considering it wasn't long ago, you know, the fans were booing the anthem, the Champions League anthem is probably still happening. But, you know, generally now that it's becoming a place that away teams know they're going to struggle. And they're going to struggle because of the firepower. What's really impressive with City this season is kind of how many goal scorers that are getting in on the mix. You know, every single week, it seems like you're identifying another star man in that City team. So, you know, Pep Guardiola's got, you know, an absolute embarrassment of riches ahead of this one. The only thing that might be on his mind, and I don't think he manages like this, but potentially, is the fact that they go to Chelsea on Saturday evening, don't they? That's a huge game, you know, for Man City, because, of course, Chelsea are turning it on themselves at the moment. So that might be in the back of his mind, but does it really matter? I mean, if he's playing, you know, Sane instead of Jesus, or, you know, Sterling, and, you know, instead of Aguero. I mean, it doesn't really matter. I think he'll go strong in this one. I want to make sure he gets a win, but they've helped themselves with that fantastic win at Feyenoord. So while Shakhtar will make life difficult, I don't expect Man City to, you know, be as big a winners as they were in that opening game against Feyenoord. I do expect it to be fairly comfortable for them. And, you know, if I'm probably looking at markets here, you know, Man City -2 at 23-20 is sort of sticking out on the page here for me, Mark. You know, while I'm not suggesting 5, 6 or 7 or anything like that, because Shakhtar are a decent side. I think you're very brave to back against Manchester City winning with a fair amount of breathing space now.
Okay, so City 3-0, something like that, you think?
Or Yeah, and the goal scorer thing, I mean, is a bit tricky. I mean, I was looking down this list. You know, they are all short prices on the anytime front, but, you know, I think Leroy Sané, I think with his performance, you know, at the weekend, I'd be surprised if he doesn't start in this one, unless, of course, he is going to save him for Chelsea. But he looks decent value, 11-2, first goal scorer. I think he's arguably one of the best signings Man City have made in recent seasons.
Yeah, trying to find a potential first goal scorer for Man City is one of the... It's becoming as difficult as nailing Custard to the wall, because you look down the list there. You could pick from feasibly 8 players that could get on the score sheet without you even raising an eyebrow.
Yeah, easily. And, you know, that's you know, even if you're going towards the back line as well, you know, you might have a few of them. But, yeah, I think it is really, really difficult there. I mean, I think if you think that Man City are going to score the 2-3 goals that maybe I expect, you know, you might want to look at the 2-0 market as well. I mean, it's just an interesting one with Pep Guardiola, what he does. I mean, with that Chelsea game, this isn't... You know, Chelsea at the weekend, you know, and he was criticised last year, Pep, you know, for his record against sort of the top teams in the Premier League. And I just wonder whether, you know, he might think about a slight rotation in his squad, but we'll see. But Man City, you know, although I've talked up Shakhtar and kind of their threats and their ability, you know, their record in England isn't great. Their record away in the Champions League isn't, you know, anything to worry about too much. So it should be a relatively comfortable night for City.
Over to Cyprus next. Apoel Nicosia are the hosts for Tottenham Hotspur. The market looks like this. Apoel are 11-1. The draw is 4-1. Tottenham are 2-7 in the market here. Tottenham in very good form at the moment. And Apoel, well, no Cypriot side has ever beaten an English opponent in the European competition. And bizarrely, almost bizarrely, I think that Tottenham have played Cypriot opposition more than any other English club. With very good record against them. So is it going to be business as usual for Spurs? They seem to be ticking along quite nicely. They've won 4 of their last 5 games. They're unbeaten in 6. They're scoring goals. Harry Kane's back on the score sheet. Is it going to be easy work for Spurs here?
It should be, and mainly because they're playing at a stadium with a capacity of around 22,000. So it should be nice and easy for them. Obviously, that's the key factor for them at the moment. But now, look, they're playing brilliantly. They've been great away from home as well this season. I mean, that's the contrast with what's been going on at Wembley and the drop points they've had in the Premier League, is the fact they're away from has been fantastic. Well, they won 3 out of the 3 Premier League matches. They've scored 8 goals in that run. Very, very impressive. You know, Harry Kane is in that mood where, you know, we just talked previously there about Man City, and it's difficult really to pick a scorer. I think it's relatively simple with Tottenham at the moment. I mean, I think there is one candidate, and it is Harry Kane. And, you know, this game itself is one that Tottenham will obviously look to win, but not only just win, but I think they want to win it in some style. They've got back-to-back games against Real Madrid coming up. Now, Real Madrid aren't going brilliantly themselves, of course, domestically, but, you know, Tottenham would have to look at those 2 games and think, oh, if we picked up 2 points from Real Madrid, then we're in a good position. But that goes, of course, that they have to pick up 3 against Apoel, who've lost 10 of the last 12 Champions League games, and scoring has been a big, big problem for them, particularly in this competition. They lost 3-0 on match day 1 against Real Madrid. did do well against Slavia Prague. A very impressive defensive display for them against Slavia Prague, you know, which got them to this sort of group stage. But, you know, Tottenham generally, they've not been fantastic away from home in Europe. There's no Dele Alli, of course. There's no Dembele. It's a little bit of a weakness there for Spurs. I think they win this one, mainly because Applewell aren't great at keeping clean sheets in the Champions League. They conceded 15 in the last seven Champions League games. They've only scored one goal. They've lost six during the, you know, of those seven games. And I think Tottenham win this, but I don't see them winning this, you know, really comfortably. I see it being quite a narrow victory. And by narrow, I mean 2-0. I would look at maybe Tottenham on under 2.5 goals here. I think the temptation would be to go with sort of the overs. You know, it's 8-11, but I don't know why. I'm more likely to look at Tottenham and think, yeah, they go there and it's kind of a job done thing. It, you know, it's still a little bit of a tricky place to sort of navigate, the travelling and all of those kind of factors we talk about. And the price is far more appealing for me to go for a Tottenham with under 2.5 goals at 23-10. Tottenham have never scored more than one goal away in Europe under Mauricio Pochettino, you know. So, you know, that's one thing you might look at and think, well, hold on, you know, they're not big scorers, you know, away from home in Europe, and they haven't been under Mauricio Pochettino. So it leads me to think that once they get the second goal, they don't concede against Applewell, by the way. They won't score. But I don't see Tottenham winning massive here. I can see 2-0, something like that. And if you're looking for the goal scorers, I mean, it has to be Harry Kane. He's 4-9 any time. But the two or more interest me at 15-8, Matt.
All right, just want to build on a few things that you've said there. By the way, Tottenham to Inter nil is 10-11 if you fancy them to shut out Applewell and get on the score sheet themselves. Applewell have never kept a clean sheet at home in the Champions League group stages. That's in a total of 9 games. That's not going to change. It's going to be 10 games after this, I reckon. And Harry Kane, you've mentioned him in quite detail there. He's played 4 games in the Champions League, scored 4 goals. And against Dortmund, he was involved in all 3 Spurs goals. He assisted the first, scored the other 2. And Harry Kane to score any time in a Tottenham win is 8-13. I've seen worse 8-13 shots than that.
Oh, I think it's brilliant, because I would probably argue right now, if we're talking about Premier League sides, I don't think there's any of the top sides as reliant on one player. People probably point to Manchester United and Lukaku, yes. But everyone else, you know, I think there's goal scorers all over the place. And there are goal scorers in the Tottenham side, but more often than not, I think it's a sure thing. I think if you're thinking of Tottenham winning the game and having plenty of the ball and chances, I don't think he can look past anyone else other than him. I mean, I still don't think Mark, he gets the credit he possibly deserves for what he's done at his age, the way his career was written off, and how much of a goal threat he is from all over the pitch. I mean, all over the pitch, he's a threat. He picks it up 50 yards out, you know, and he lays it off to somebody else. You know, he's on his bike and he's clinical. He's ice cool in front of goal. I think he's probably one of the best, you know, finishers that England's produced for a long, long time. So, I don't think you can go wrong with that at all. I think if Tottenham win, he has to be on the score sheet.
Let's move on to Wednesday evening's games then. And we start with a pretty big one. I'm going to brand it the Diego Costa derby, if it hasn't already been done so. Atletico Madrid against Chelsea. Atleti are 11-10. The draw is 21-10. And Chelsea are 14-5 in the market. Both sides arrive here in pretty good form. Atleti have won their last 3 games. They currently sit second in La Liga behind Barca. Chelsea sitting third in the Premier League behind City and United. And they arrive here on the back of 7 games, I make it, without defeat. Quite tricky for Chelsea. It's a tricky task to go over there and try and get the 3 points. But then again, the market, whichever way you're leaning, looks quite appealing. If you fancy Atleti, 11-10 looks good. If you fancy Chelsea, 14-5 looks massive. And the draw at 21-10, I couldn't really put anybody off either. I really don't know where to go in this game.
You've sold it all to me, Matt. I mean, I'm with you on that. I mean, I think it's tricky. I mean, both teams are in form. You know, Atletico, you know, they've settled into life, of course, in their new stadium pretty well this week. I mean, they've almost had like a, you know, a perfect week there. You know, they beat Malaga in that opening home match in the new ground. And that was a little bit trappy, a little bit cagey, but I think I would have expected that. And it was a wonderful performance from them at the weekend. You know, Sevilla arrived and they were unbeaten. And Atletico Madrid clipped their wings, you know, pretty convincingly. I know it was only 2-0, but that's... You know, for Atletico, that is a comprehensive victory for them. You know, that they are a job done team and have been under Diego Simeone. And in between those two, they went to Athletic Club as well and beat them 2-1. So, you know, their results have been good. They're hot on the heels of Barcelona domestically. And I think this is probably, they would feel this is almost perfect for them, because they've got Chelsea coming up, of course, this week. And then their next home match, they welcome Barcelona to their new stadium. So everything's going pretty well for Atletico Madrid. And Chelsea are hitting, have obviously hit some, you know, great form at the moment. Morata was just superb, wasn't he? I mean, his finishing was just absolutely top-notch at the weekend. And, you know, he now is becoming, I think he's probably, you know, he's got to do it consistently, but I think I know there were some doubters about him and have been, you know, since he burst onto the scene at Real Madrid all those years ago. It seems like a long time ago now. But I think he is the real deal. And I'm really interested by Chelsea this season in the Champions League because we discussed it before, but, you know, like Antonio Conte in Europe, he's always fascinated me, really. He never really, he kind of takes the opposite view, or it feels that way anyway, to a lot of top elite European managers in that he puts so much focus on the domestic, you know, side of things that I don't know if he sees Europe as a little bit of an inconvenience, but this year they will be expected to do something. And part of the reason I think he got the job, despite his not brilliant European record, was I think to do something in the Champions League. And he's not stupid. They will go there. They'll be extremely tight and compact. They'll know that a point is a fantastic result against Madrid. And I think that's what they'll go for. And I think they're capable of doing it. You know, Atletico Madrid, they started off against Roma in the Italian capital with a colour straw, but they threw everything at Roma. They should have won the game, and on another day, maybe if they'd have played for another 5-10 minutes, they probably would have beaten Roma. So, you know, they need a win now. You know, I think when you don't start off your group stage with a win, I don't care who you're playing, you need to get a win on the board as soon as possible. So they will throw everything at Chelsea, but I mean, I might play into Chelsea's hands a little bit, who I think are still one of the best teams, certainly in England, at sort of soaking up that pressure. And I think in Europe, I think they'll have a little. I think Conte will have a game plan up his sleeve this season. So, yeah, I suppose you know, I'm sort of asking myself the question here: can Chelsea go there and get a point? And I think they are more than capable of doing it. And of the three, you know, outright markets, that's the one that appeals to me the most at 21-10. I think Chelsea will find it tough to win, but I think so will Atletico. So I'm plumping for the draw here.
Yeah, the last two meetings between these two sides in Madrid have both ended as draws. And an interesting stat, if you're a very heavily stats-based person, you'll enjoy this. Over the last 10 seasons in the Champions League, there have been 155 cases of teams attempting 10 or more shots on target in a game, and only three of those games didn't produce a single goal, and that was including Atleti's game against Roma last time. So yeah, it's a very rare occurrence that they have that many attempts and don't find the back of the net. Draw then for Tom in that game. Let's move on to CSKA Moscow against Manchester United. CSKA are 9-2. The draw is 13-5. Man United are 4-6 in the betting. It all seems to be going very, very well for Mourinho and his United side, Tom. They're second in the Premier League, only on goal difference. They have only lost once in their last eight outings. They're scoring goals. They don't seem to be conceding goals either. This shouldn't be a problem for them, should it?
No, it shouldn't. You know, Cisco have certainly done, you know, a lot better than Spartak Liverpool's opponents this season. And they are, you know, still very much sort of in the mix at the top end of the table, fourth at the moment going into this game. So, you know, within touching distance of, you know, the top few sides in the league. So, you know, their form has generally been good. So they've got a slightly different challenge going to Moscow, unlike Liverpool. You know, where they're up against a team that are in form. But a team that generally struggled to score goals. I think they've scored 11 in their last 11 matches. So it's in stark contrast to Manchester United, who albeit did only manage to score one against Southampton. But before that, you know, have been scoring fours against Everton, Burton, three against Basel on the opening day, you know, two against Stoke, in which they, of course, conceded, and plenty of goals in those opening few matches of the season. So I remember this. I remember when Manchester United went to Cisco actually a few years ago, about 2015, and managed to get a 1-1 draw. And Mourinho away from home again, pragmatic in the Champions League. And I think Manchester United will be like that for most of this season. I think they're going to, you know, probably skillfully and artfully navigate their way through sort of tricky things like this. So he's a master, Mourinho, and he's proved it, you know, when he's had success in Europe in the past. These are the kind of matches where he knows not to go gung-ho for it. He knows that, you know, a point is decent enough. You know, while a lot of Manchester United fans would expect them to go there and win, you know, he'd probably think a point is good enough. I can only see this being pretty low-scoring as well. I think Manchester United have got enough to win it. I'm just saying Mourinho will, I think that's how his setup will be. I don't think he'll sort of stretch his players, you know, for this one. And I suppose what was quite interesting was, you know, we're talking on Monday afternoon, and you know, the Manchester United players were flying out today, which is a little bit unusual. You know, most teams that would fly out somewhere like Moscow, you know, to the far reaches of Europe for these kind of games would fly out more the day before. But I just wonder whether Mourinho has got, you know, something different up his sleeve in terms of the preparation for the game. You know, and just the ability, of course, they played on Saturday. So, you know, he's maybe got a little bit more time to sort of, I wouldn't say necessarily acclimatise, but just, you know, spend a little bit more time in their opponent's backyard, and I don't know, maybe pick up something from that. I don't know, but look, Manchester United will win. I think I talked about Cisco not scoring goals, but again, defensively they've been pretty resolute, and they are capable of doing that in Europe. So I'm going to go for the handicap tie here, Mark, and it's Manchester United effectively to win by a goal at 5-2, because, you know, again, I've got about Manchester United to get over the line, but I think it's a narrow one because I think Cisco will play their part in it being a tight game.
Yeah, it would be typical Mourinho, wouldn't it, just to go over there and do enough to get the job done. He's, you say he's flying over the side on Monday as we record this. He seems to know how to get a result in Moscow as well. As a manager, he's faced CSKA Moscow six times in the Champions League. He's won five of them and he's drawn one of them, so he's never lost away in Moscow. And yeah, I mean, Man United, the one caveat I can find as a negative when I was going through this is they don't have a particularly good recent record away from home in the Champions League, but then again, they're now managed by Mourinho, as a master at that, isn't he? So
yeah, and they've got a better team as well. I mean, their recent Champions League record, you know, you're looking at sort of, you know, those first few years, you know, Moyes and Van Gaal, and it you know, they just didn't have the kind of team that they've got now, and it's the squad depth that Manchester United have. Again, you know, we talked last week, you know, on the podcast, you know, Martial coming in for the cup match and he was brilliant, and you can just kind of see that, you know, the squad that they've got. And also it's a decent time to go to Moscow. I think a lot of the cliches that we had, you know, certainly, you know, I was growing up watching football and teams were going out there in the 90s and stuff. You know, it was kind of a fearsome journey and you know, really hostile and everything else. And it still is a little bit like that, but it's not what it once was. You know, the stadiums are better, the pitches are better. You know, they're travelling out sort of late September, so, you know, the weather isn't as bad as it would be in a few months' time. So, you know, I think generally Mourinho will be pretty happy to get this game and this trip out of the way early doors. He'll take a point, but I think Manchester United, with the firepower they've got, I think they'll do enough to nick it, but it will be tight.
Final game in the Champions League that we're going to look at is Anderlecht against Celtic. This is also on Wednesday evening. Anderlecht in the market at 11-10. The draw is 12-5, and Celtic also 12-5 in the market. Disappointing opening fixture in the Champions League for Celtic, but domestically they're looking unstoppable. Anderlecht have been quite disappointing domestically so far. They're only seventh in the table, Tom. Are they struggling this time around, do you think, or is this a good opportunity for Celtic? I find this really hard to call, this one.
I think it is hard to call, but it's one that Celtic have, you know, I think have almost got to win, haven't they, really, if they've got any chance. You know, they've got to try and, you know, do the double over Anderlecht, and I think they would probably expect to do that. I mean, you know, you mentioned Anderlecht's domestic form. It is poor. They've won three of their eight matches in the league so far this season. You know, well beaten by Bayern on the opening day. I think so, on the opening day of the competition, I think some expected a bigger win for Bayern at home, but it was pretty comfortable, and Anderlecht never managed to lay a glove on them. And they've not been great as well in the Champions League, you know, recently. You know, when you're looking at their home record, you know, it's really, really poor. I mean, you know, I remember again Anderlecht back into the 90s, you know, into the early 2000s. You know, Anderlecht was one of the toughest places to go. They had a long unbeaten record in Europe that went over a few seasons. But now, everyone that goes there seems to win. I mean, you know, they've only had one sort of win recently. That was against Galatasaray. Admittedly, I'm stretching this back over a few years. I'm going back sort of 2014, 2013. But it's been a problem for them. Couple in the fact that they are on poor form domestically, beaten by Bayern Munich, so they obviously need something. You know, they have responded pretty well to that Bayern defeat in the last three matches, including a cup game. You know, they've won twice and they've won the last two games. But Celtic themselves, you know, they found goals a little bit hard to come by away from over the Champions League, but not necessarily results. You know, in the last season, you know, they went to Mönchengladbach, they went to Man City and managed to get 1-1 draws. So Celtic under Brendan Rodgers and with the squad they've got, they are capable of getting a result here. And you know, and I think this is probably a decent time to take on Anderlecht. You know, Anderlecht are very, very short at 11-10. I would prefer my money on this game to be riding on Celtic, because, you know, they're flying full of confidence. You know, and I think they are capable of getting a result here. It'll be far from easy, and a draw probably, you know, I don't think it'll suit them that. I think just the way the group is going to sort of, you know, play out, I don't think a draw, ordinarily it would be decent, but I think in Celtic's position, they need to win. It's the same price, the draw in Celtic at the moment. And, you know, I'm going to go for Celtic in form against a wobbly Anderlecht side.
Starting with Celtic then, just casting my mind back there, Tom. I drifted off a little bit thinking, oh, I remember when Leeds went to Anderlecht, they were unbeaten. They'd won their previous nine Champions League games. If Leeds won, they went through to the quarterfinals of the Champions League and they won 4-1. Those were the good old days, eh?
Mark, you knew exactly as everyone else probably why I was such an expert on Anderlecht's incredible home record at the back end of the 90s and the early 2000s because Leeds ended it. But they were a good team. They were a good side, Anderlecht, back then. I don't know. I think with Celtic, and I'm looking more at Celtic's point here. I think people can be quite critical, can be quite derisory about, about Celtic's sort of, ability really when it comes to mixing it in Europe. But, I think Anderlecht surely are kind of at their level. You're talking about a team that have started the season badly. They're not one of the better sides in Belgium. And I think Celtic have got to target it for 3 points. And, I think they've got a chance. And it's the argument versus the price thing for me, really. And Celtic at 12-5, carry a lot more of my interest than Anderlecht at 11-10. I wouldn't be back in the home side.
Starting with Celtic there, then, in the last game that we look at in the Champions League. There is, of course, Arsenal in action in the Europa League on Thursday evening. And Arsenal currently priced up at 2-5 away at Bate Borisov. The home side 7-1 and the draw is 7-2. Just with regards to Arsenal in the Europa League there, first game didn't go to plan to start with, but they had enough to come through that. That game where we saw ridiculous numbers of Cologne fans turning up as well, Tom. Did that show that they are taking this competition seriously enough? Or there was, for the first 50 minutes, I thought, oh, Arsenal, I've chucked it in here. They don't care about the Europa League.
Yeah, I think what it probably showed is that they've got the quality, haven't they? They've got the quality to go a long way in this competition. In fact, you're looking at a lot of the teams that are in it, and Arsenal, probably should win it or certainly should reach the very closing stages. I mean, Manchester United did it last year and won it. I never felt they even had to leave third gear. And I don't think Arsenal probably will do. And, this is an interesting game, I think. Arsenal, I thought they did show enough, to get past Cologne in that last game. But Bate Borisov, it has become one of the, one of the most intimidating places to kind of go in Europe. I mean, two competitive defeats they've had at home in 2 years. And the one before that was against Barcelona. So, they're a team that at home are just not used to losing games. And they drew 1-1 in their opening matches against the Serbian side, Sivana Zvezda. And it was a decent result for them. I think they were pretty happy away from home to kind of get the 1-1 draw. But, they're 23 games into their season and they have a real battle on domestically behind Shakhtar as well. Only a couple of points behind them. So, they've got really something to play for domestically. Arsenal, their response since the Liverpool game has been pretty good. It's so predictably Arsenal, is it not? They're at absolute crisis point. They're demolished at Anfield. And then since then, you can't really criticise the results, can you? I know it was tight against Doncaster, and Doncaster played well the other night in the League Cup, but they got through. They went to Chelsea, got a draw. Nothing wrong with that. And they won the two home matches that you'd expect them to win against Cologne and Bournemouth. So, they're winning the games that you would expect them to win. But that game against Dunkston, the fact that they made it hard work, even with the changes that they made, leads me to think that Arsenal still aren't playing brilliantly. Also the fact that they're playing on Monday night against West Brom, which will not be an easy game at the Emirates. One I'd fancy them to win, but it won't be an easy match. And then they've got this trip on Thursday night. It's not a schedule, although it's very similar, playing Saturday, Tuesday. It's that kind of thing. It's not a schedule I think that Arsene Wenger will be too happy about, so there probably will be changes to the side. I think Arsenal are going to find this really tough. I think Arsenal would probably take a draw, but I don't want to touch them at 2-5, Mark. I've no interest in playing Arsenal here. Bate Borisov at 7-1. If they can catch Arsenal on a bad night, which, let's face it, has happened quite a few times for Arsenal, these kind of encounters, then I think 7-1 has got to be worth a small stake, does it not? I mean, Arsenal going away to Bate Borisov, it's the exact kind of game. And I know Bate aren't the team that they were, a few years ago in the Champions League, but still, I just think 7-1's far too big. I don't want to be back in Arsenal after a grueling Premier League game on a Monday night and they travel over to, to Bate for this game. I don't want to be touching them at 2-5, not interested. So I'm going to go where I think the value is, and that's with the home side.
Yeah, I think they've only lost one game at home, Bate, in any competition since November 2016, so they are a very good home side. It's not going to be easy for the Gunners on Thursday night. Could I tempt you with Bate plus a goal, by the way, at 2-1, so you've got the draw and Bate on your side?
Yeah, exactly that. I mean, I think, I'm probably being a little bit ambitious, a bit Hollywood there, going for the 7-1, but I think, yeah, if you want to be a little bit more cautious and it's still a fantastic price, that's where I'd be at. I mean, I think even the draw is a good enough price. I don't know what argument you could make make to me, except, of course, man for man. You know, they've got the quality, Arsenal. But it's everything that goes around the game like this that does just leads me not to think my money is safe on Arsenal at 2-5. Just not interested in that price. So, yeah, I think that's cracking value, Barclay plus a goal.
And moving on to the final game that we look at on the midweek edition of the Punt Podcast then, it's Everton's Europa League tie with Apollon Limassol. Everton 3-10 in the betting, or 100-30 on if you prefer. The draw is 4-1 and Apollon are 10-1 in the market. Everton were dismantled in the first group game, Tom. They sit bottom of their group in the Europa League. They really need a reaction. There's pressure on Ronald Koeman as well, talk of him struggling as manager already. But domestically, since then, they've had a League Cup victory over Sunderland, they've beaten Bournemouth in the Premier League. Signs of recovery there for Everton, do you think?
Yeah, I think signs of recovery from the Bournemouth game in particular. I mean, the Sunderland game, I think the Dog and Duck could beat Sunderland at the moment. But the Everton game at Atalanta, it didn't surprise me because, not only was it sandwiched in between heavy defeats against Spurs at home and Manchester United away, but there's no real firepower in the Everton side. And Atalanta in particular are a strong and physical side with a lot of craft and guile up front. They're a decent team. And I never fancied it. I thought the best thing Everton could get was possibly a draw out there. But I don't know if they can sort of mix it and have the steal away from home that maybe you need in Europe. This is much more of an attractive fixture for Ronald Koeman and his players here, taking on an Apollon side who have just been drawing pretty much every game that they've played recently, both in Europe and domestically. A couple of draws in the Europa League against Michelin, which got them through to the group stage, but also in their opening match at home against Lyon. So, not a bad result for them at all. They've had a 4-2 victory in the league and a 1-0 draw at the weekend. But, Everton at home, I think with that confidence returning, and you could tell, when Omar Nias, managed to score the second goal, after scoring the equaliser at the weekend, you could just see maybe a little bit of confidence sort of will come back. It must be a huge frustration to the Everton fans, in particular Koeman, that he's not in the Europa League squad and he can't be included, until the knockout stages. That's a massive blow, Mark, because, Everton have been struggling for a striker, really, and, it's a risk, isn't it, to sort of exile anybody. He's done that. He's had to bring him back in. He's scored and he took the two goals really well at the weekend. And all of a sudden now, Everton are back in the problem of thinking, well, who is going to be the sort of regular goal scorer for them? But they'll have far too much firepower for Apollon, who, away from home in Europe and the Europa League is where they kind of compete, not particularly great. This is a team that, even were beaten in one of the qualifiers at Aberdeen, away from home, they tend not to get results unless they're playing against sort of some of the real minnows in Europe. So Everton will win this with that little confidence boost. I think, they're one of the teams now where it's crisis point and then all of a sudden they get a few wins and everyone sort of leaves them alone and we'll probably come back to them in the future. But Everton at Goodison Park, I think, should win this one comfortably, and they have to following that opening group match defeat to Atalanta. So although I'm talking there about there not being any strikers, I think Koeman will still go strong enough here to score a few goals. So I play Everton -2 here at 2-1. Apollon away from home just aren't worth backing to get any kind of result. And if you want, looking at some of the goal scorers and someone again who I think we'll probably play, someone like Calvert-Lewin, who I thought was fantastic at the weekend, he's instrumental, but he has been playing well. He's been a real bright spot for them. Rooney's obviously in the mix as well, but Adamola Lookman might get a look in, 13-10 any time, always, worthy of a goal threat. And Gylfi Sigurdsson, of course, as always, because the way Everton are playing, set pieces could be really, really important for them.
Yeah, this could be a good opportunity for them to eradicate some of the negative deficit from that goal difference in the first game, couldn't it, at home. It is a bit of a bizarre situation, is it, with Nias? Obviously, Koeman didn't have him in his plans at all, thought he doesn't need him for the Europa League, and then suddenly he turns out to put in a performance like he did at the weekend and say, hang on a second, you're freezing me out. I'm actually deserving of being in this team.
Well, it's Ronald Koeman has to take completely responsibility of that because, what's the squad? It's like 25 players, isn't it, that you can name for the Europa League. Yeah. So, if you're not even getting in the 25, then you've probably got to be thinking that your career is over. And he probably did think his Everton career was over, but, he's back with a bang. And it's a shame, really, because, I didn't know that information earlier on because I'd have been looking at him straight away of being on the score sheet. Because, when strikers like that come back in, get a chance. They can normally go on a little run. So it's a little bit disappointing, frustrating for them. But this should be a very comfortable night for Everton.
After all of that, then, Tom, do you have a strongest opinion? Do you have like a bet that you really fancy the look of this week?
Well, I'm looking around and I just think Tottenham here and Harry Kane to be on the score sheet. You know, I mentioned kind of the two or more for him in their game at Apple and Nicosia. I think most of the English sides the British sides have decent matches. You know, and they, most of them, you know, shouldn't have any problems. There probably will be one upset, but I think Tottenham are the team in real form against one of the weaker oppositions of the week. I mean, I think them and Liverpool can have very enjoyable away days. So, you know, I'll be backing Kane on the score sheet and a Tottenham win all day long on that one.
Good stuff. Been a pleasure as always, Tom. Thank you very much. Good luck with that and enjoy the football this week.
Thank you very much.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.